Turuntuset tulee jo on äl.
Today we are going to talk about generations. And to introduce the topic, I would like to say that different generations, their needs, values, aspirations have always been challenging for marketeers. We all know the baby boomers and the Gen X, but there are some generations we are more curious about and we don't know very much about Gen Z, millennials, and even Generation Y. And it's challenging for marketeers to understand what to do with the generations, how different they are, and if they are different, in what means. And we also know that at the same time we have to follow the baby boomers and Gen X as well, because they are also changing and evolving during the time, and that's why I would like to start from the very beginning that why do we really need to know about the different generations? What do you think, Martina?
Well, thank you. That's a very good starting point. And you're making a good question there. Why do we actually care? And a lot of companies ask themselves that question, not only in marketing, but also as an employer, for example. Why do we need to care about that? And basically the reason is, and I will use marketing here, you talk about customer segmentation. So whatever your product or service, you want to understand your customer. And it's the same with generations. So a generational dependence of a certain group is basically just one aspect of diversity. And this aspect, in this case, age, the generational belonging, is part of understanding truly who your customers are. So to get into the world, and that's what, as a marketeer, you do. You try to understand what do they want, what do they need, how do they live, what do they dream of. So you consider lots of different things. Are they male or female? Are they young or old? Are they, I don't know, which ethical background do they have? And it's the same with the generation. So it can give you additional insights and understanding your customer. It's not a magic bullet. It's not going to answer all your questions, but it's one more aspect how you can differentiate your product or service if you're really smart about it.
How different are the generations in general? Or is it kind of just a theory? And how thin is a line between the generations?
For me, usually I start when I give lectures or when I give workshops, and people actually challenge that. And they said, let's say a person who's a little bit older comes with a story and says, when I was young, we were the same. So this is not the generation. This is just the age and blah, 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 those kind of stories.
Yeah.
And the differentiation there is very simple. You either talk about a life phase or you talk about a generation. And that understanding is really, really crucial. So anything I'm going to say for the rest of this show really has a basis or roots in this differentiation. Because especially as marketeers, very often what we try to understand is the life phase. And that's why we target certain messages in our advertising or commercials for the life phase. But that is not the same as targeting a generation. And to answer your question, a generation is defined by sociology. So there is science behind this. There's lots of armies of people have researched this over many years. And what they try to find out is, what does a cohort of people, so a group that is similar in age, what do they have in common? And if they have something in common, what is it based on? And there is something that's called the formative years. And it's really important people understand that, because this is what it's all about when you talk about generations as a science. Formative years is something that happens in every human being's life, roughly about the age between 11 and 15 years old. You're no longer a child. You're not yet an adult. So what happens in this period of your life is that you're very easily influenced by what happens around you that is beyond the immediate family. So when you're younger than that, your influences are mainly your parents, your family, cultural background, maybe something like the education level of your parents. Are they wealthy? Are they not? This is what happens when you're a child that influences you most. When you are later on older than, let's say, 15, 16, you start to question, you rationalize, you build your own opinion. But in the bracket of years in between is when you are absorbing influences and you don't question and you don't judge. This is a time called the formative years that is the foundation of many of your values that stay the same for the rest of your life. And if you have that in common with people who are roughly around the same age bracket than you are, this is when we're talking about a generation. It's a sociological concept, and it's not about life phase. So if you think about what is it that people, that influence people during certain parts in history, and we're talking about history here, the last few decades, then clearly you would say that, yes, the influences on youth in the 70s has been very, very different than in the 80s, 90s, or the recent past. And because of these influences, this is why my reasoning and my argumentation is, yes, generations are very different, not because necessarily the value that we can talk about is different, but how we understand it and how we live it is different. And I give you one example, because a lot of times people are a little bit confused with this. If we ask people, is respect important? Everyone, no matter which age, and probably no matter which culture, will tell you, yes, respect is very important. But when you then go ahead and you ask people to describe what is respectful behavior with each other, you will get very different answers. And respect to a baby boomer is expressed differently in interaction with somebody else than respect for a millennial, for example. And that's where the generational gap becomes in or comes into play.
Wow. Thank you for the explanation. It was thank you. It was really good, because usually you don't think so deeply in where the theories come from, but I think it clarified really a lot of things. Why do we think that it's really important? But Martina, let's talk about the baby boomers.
Yes.
What is the generation about, and what do we need to know about them today?
What do we need to know about baby boomers? So I'll invite the listeners of the show, each time we're talking about a specific generation, really do a little bit of a time travel. And if it helps, close your eyes and think about, okay, what was the life that a baby boomer had in their formative years? And to clarify, who do we mean when we say baby boomers? So these are people roughly born between 1946 and 1964, which places them nowadays roughly in their 60s, 70s and older. In their 50s and 60s. That's a part we can cut. So it roughly places the baby boomers in their 50s and 60s. And the 50s and 60s is an age group. What is important to them now is clearly linked to the life phase. And again, notice the difference. If we're talking about the pending retirement that is coming, or they've just entered retirement, this is a life phase piece. However, there's also the generational aspect. And that is when you think about their formative years. What happened when they were young? So, for example, you think about the Cuba crisis, you think about the assassination of JFK, you think about Woodstock, you think about the people landing on the moon. Those are all influences that shape that generation. So as a characteristics that are typical for baby boomers, they tend to be quite optimistic. They've seen things growing all their life. Things have gotten better. Looking at their parents' generation, they accumulated a lot of wealth. They will actually accumulate even more when you think about what they will inherit in just the next few years. They are at their height of spending their savings or spending their money. They don't necessarily have the highest income, but they have the highest disposable income. They don't have to pay for their children going to college anymore. Many of those are through with that. And what's important to them now is really they want to live kind of, there's this term called best agers. And that's the baby boomers. They want life quality for best agers. They have no more dependencies, most of them. We're generalizing here, but otherwise we cannot talk about a generation. So most of them have no more dependencies, yet they're very altruistic. They care so much about their children and grandchildren, and they have the money to spend on them. And they're more than happy to do that. They will spend a lot on home, garden, hobbies, luxury travel, for example. Think of the baby boomers as they're working off their bucket list. All their life, they've been in this rut, they've been having their duties, they had to take care of others. Now it's time for them. They have the time, they're healthy. Many of them will live much longer than any generations before. And they have the money to actually allow themselves to live that life. So I think this is important. And looking the next 5 years, this will be even more important as more and more baby boomers come into the retirement age. And the other thing that I think is important for marketeers to understand about baby boomers, so I'll just add that as well, really see them as multipliers, because they won't only spend their money on themselves. They will really also spend the money on others, and they will influence the purchase decisions of the younger generations, because a lot of the Gen Yers and Gen Z are listening to their parents, to their grandparents. They ask for advice, and they really follow their advice. So baby boomers is twofold an interesting target group for themselves, but also to influence them as influencers for consumers of other products.
It's a very good description. Looking at what happens in Estonian media scene, the recent development are that most of the, or not most of the money, but a big chunks of money are moving from general media to internet. And we here in Estonia know that the boomer generation is not very actively in social media. They might follow some news, send some emails, but still there is a big gap between them and the younger generations. What about the ways how to reach the very lucrative segment for the most marketeers?
I think it really depends a lot on the product or the service that you're trying to sell. But to your point, I mean, print media still works well with them. Many of boomers still have subscriptions for either the daily newspaper or certain magazines they care about. It's a little bit of a luxury, but they enjoy having the paper in the morning. So print media works. Television works pretty well because a lot of these people have time, so they have the TV on. They kind of passively, at least, listen and watch TV. They are also online. I'm not sure about the Estonian market, of course, but if you look at data from other parts of the world, they are on the internet, but they absorb the information differently. So boomers will not browse. They will not play with the internet for most of the part. They will actually target it. They look for information. They are a lot more patient. They will read longer descriptions, editorials. Research is showing that they're taking more time for purchase decisions. They really compare. They care about details like warranty, for example, things that a young person will not necessarily even look for anymore.
Absolutely.
And so for a boomer, I think those are channels that you can use. And there are a couple of other things. One is the network. And if we say network here, we have to kind of switch off the social network and go back to the kind of old days, the personal network. Baby boomers have a close circle of friends that they've built up over their life or career. And they listen to each other. They're very influential with each other on a personal level. So rather than social networking, it's the old day offline networking where you can have quite a good influence on their purchase decisions.
Can you recall any good campaign recently that is targeted to baby boomers and really, really getting results? What type of campaigns do they love?
The one that I came up with, and I had to research this a little bit, it's a campaign. And again, here, it's very, I try to be deliberate, finding a campaign that targets the generation and not the life phase. Because the easiest thing first comes to mind is you think of some medical products or health-related products, but it's because of age that that works well. So I was thinking, regardless of age, what other campaign really targets boomers? And I came up with, the campaign is called Come Back New, and it's by Princess Cruises. So it's a cruise ship company, and they're selling cruise trips. And if you Google some of their campaigns, they have, I think it's the 50th anniversary this year, 2015. So they launched a whole campaign about this mix of tradition. We're in the market for 50 years, and tradition actually is also value for baby boomers. It works quite well. It's been around for a long time. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. And at the same time, they call it Come Back New. And it's almost like calling to a baby boomer who feel also the last thing they want to hear in a campaign is that they're old. They don't want to impress because they're old. They want to feel like, hey, this is the new phase of my life. My kids are out of the house. I'm still young. I'm healthy. I don't need to work anymore. So coming back new really is a good slogan. And when you look at the campaign, what they put in the forefront is really this idea of fulfilling a dream. You always dreamt of traveling the world. Well, here's a way to do that. And it's comfortable. It's convenient. Basically, you know, you sit in your chair on this ship, but you discover the world. And they put a lot of emphasis on how you see different foods in different parts of the world, how you explore different cultures, how you can, you know, you do that easily with all the convenience that you would like to have in a good kind of luxury cruise ship. And to me, that campaign really hit the mark because I think as a boomer, it's not so much about the money. You have the money to spend without being rich, but it's okay. But it's a life dream. And if you think about maybe for all your life, you've been dreaming about this. You want to travel the world, but it was either too hard or you had your family and you had your kids. And now you can do that and you want to take your husband or wife on, you know, think about your wedding anniversary kind of thing. You want to do something really special. Well, then that's a campaign that really talks to you as a boomer.
Wow, thank you. It's a really good example. But let's move on. Let's talk about Generation X. What's important to know about them and what is going to happen with them during the next couple of years?
Generation X, so first of all, again, let's look at the birth years so we're clear who we're talking about. So Generation X is roughly born between 1965 and 1979. So nowadays, that puts them in their mid to late 30s and their 40s. Generation X had their formative years, again, coming back to the time where they were very much influenced, roughly in the 80s. And the 80s was a period where historically you think about first economic crisis after the boom of the wars. You think about oil crisis in the late 70s, early 80s as well. You also think of some early forms of terrorism, especially in Europe, not so much religious terrorism, but it was stuff around the RAF in Germany. It was the ETA in Spain. But also you think of the Northern Ireland conflict, for example. You may think of Chernobyl, which was a crisis that happened. You may think of the Challenger explosion. So those are all things that happened in the 80s. And one of the common denominators that this generation has, more than the others, is skepticism in authority. And that is because after the war, remember that the baby boomers being optimistic, seeing things grow, and it's just gotten better. Gen X now suddenly grew up in an era where it's not getting better anymore. They are doubting, will I ever get better or have more than my parents have? And think of their parents actually as the late traditionalists or the early baby boomers. So for them, everything is about, what about me? The Gen Xers, first of all, is the first generation that is pretty selfish and thinks of themselves. They're pretty direct, and they don't want to sugarcoat any messages. They want to get the real thing. So for a Gen X, what's important to them right now, again, think about the life stage versus the generation. They have very pretty busy lives at the moment. Many of them have family. If they don't have family, they might be very absorbed in their career. In that sense, they need to be very productive and efficient. They like quick, absorbable messages, professional, straight to the point, no big chit-chat around it. They also like things easy to be found. They don't want to search versus the boomers, who has time to really absorb all the information. A Gen Xer doesn't have that. And also, they don't care about it that much. And I mean, if you're going to ask me about the channels, for example, what is it, how we can reach them? And I was actually thinking about that in preparation of the session. And I was wondering, among my Gen X friends, I cannot think of anybody who has time to watch TV. So that is just a very, very practical example how busy these people are in their lives. And many of them really are running around and just trying to juggle.
Absolutely. I would agree.
And you know, what is important in 5 years' time? Well, think about that. They are now the first batch of X's, they reached their 50. So the 50th birthday, oh my God, what a big deal. I'm 50. I'm getting old. So it's a little bit the hit of, oh my, I'm not young anymore. And I think that is going to become even more important. This realization that you're moving through these different life stages. And then more importantly, you think about your pending retirement, not so much that it's around the corner, but you start to think about it. How about financial security for yourself, for your children? You want to set up your kids for success. They're probably at the pinnacle of their career progression. Only a few of them will go further, you know, towards the end of their career. They might climb the highest positions, but that's a very small fraction. Most of these people are now at the height of their career. So that also means it's very, very important where and how they spend their money at the moment. So it's an interesting target group, actually, for marketeers.
Do you know any good campaign targeted to them? Or how easy is to target them? You say that they don't watch TV. In social media, I think that they are the people who try to somehow catch up, but they're mm-hmm. never catching, or it seems that they are always kind of a step behind the millennials, just run and the others kind of try to catch up with the new things and surprise that will it end soon.
Yes, no, very well said. I think you're absolutely right. And the example that I have for a campaign, and actually I think this could, we'll probably see more of that because I think it could really be a trend, is basically riding the wave of nostalgia. So with this generation, as I said, embarking on this trip in life where you know you're not young anymore, suddenly your neighbor's kids or your own kids, they're old enough, they're teenagers. And, you know, you see your own parents maybe are no longer around. So you're becoming really, you're moving towards this older age set. So you're very nostalgic about, oh my God, you know, when I was that age. And what I saw as a campaign, what I really liked, was actually from Lego. So many people listening to the show will know Lego as a toy brand. And then I thought, well, is this actually life stage? Because it's targeting parents. you know, you buy things for your kids. So how does that link to Gen X? But what I like about it is that they have products in the Lego portfolio. For example, the one called Back to the Future. And if you remember the movie Back to the Future back in the 80s, everyone in our generation, the Xers, will remember this movie. And everybody can, you know, pinpoint exactly what Marty McFly was wearing as clothes when he was having his Hoover skateboard and the red jacket, etc. in the scene. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. This is now the packaging of the Back to the Future Lego, and you can actually buy the McLorian as a Lego set. So imagine as you as a parent, if you might have kids or not, but imagine yourself, you're walking the you know, all these toys and all these things, you want to get a gift for your kid for Christmas or birthday, and you see something that reminds you of your own youth or your own childhood, likely you will pick something like that over any other Lego toy, because it talks to your inner child and you will remember, oh my God, Back to the Future. And when you look at the packaging, when you look at, there's a video also on YouTube, you can watch it. They recreated scenes from the film. So the actual target group, the kid that will play with it, has no clue about Back to the Future as a movie. But the campaign is excellent because it addresses this nostalgia with a parent who will actually buy the product for their child.
Thanks. It's a very good example, really. And really connecting the different generations also together. What about the next generations now, the Generation Y, Generation Z, millennials?
Yes, let me clarify. For some people, it's confusing when they hear all these labels and names. So yeah. First of all, Generation Y and millennials are the exact same thing. You may see in different resources or different publications these two expressions, but it's really the same. So we're talking about the generation, their birth years are roughly 1980 to 1995. Some people place them a little bit earlier. They say they're born in the late 70s and maybe up until 2000. But really, the core area or core period is 1980 to 1995. So this means nowadays these people are in their 20s and early 30s. Millennials is a little bit of an American term. In my work, I use Gen Y, is being short for Generation Y, but it's really the same thing. And when you think about, again, the formative years, for them, this would be mainly the 90s and the first decade of the millennial, which is where the term comes from. You think about things like globalization became suddenly a big topic, the climate change, of course, also things like the Gulf War or 9/11. In Europe, discussions around the euro were suddenly, the euro was born actually during their formative years. But also, of course, then technology. And technology is probably the single most differentiator between the Gen X and Gen Y. And this has then led to certain traits of this generation. And I think, there are tons you could pick on if you wanted to, but some that might be important for marketeers is that it's a generation that's very, what's the word in English? Not very permanent in their decisions. They are jumping back and forth. So it's very spontaneous. What I like today doesn't mean that I'll like it tomorrow. So brand loyalty with this generation is tough to get, unless you're Apple. I mean, that's really, they crack the magic formula. But otherwise, typically, it's a generation that's very spontaneous and on the spot. They're extremely well connected. And here, if we talk in social networks, we really mean the technology-based online networks. They're also very demanding because they grew up as a first generation that really didn't have to work hard for anything, in the sense that their parents made it their primary job to care for their children and offer them opportunities. And this is mainly the boomers who were parents, remember, the optimistic ones who want the better world for their children. And it's also the early Xers who lived their whole life with a bad conscience because they had to focus on their career. They were working so much, they never had time for their families. Also think, again, sociologically, how families have changed from the ideal two-parent, two-kids situation to lots of divorces. Now it's patchwork all over. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just a different setup for families. So the whole commitment that is part of relationships that used to be important for boomers is not the same for Gen Y. And all of them create together this kind of mix that makes up the profile of this generation in terms of how they consume and how they buy.
Of course, we can reach them through social media, internet, all the channels are over. But we have also learned that, as you say, that they jump back and forth until we finally know what channel they are using. Then they already have changed it, and maybe twice.
Yes.
Any good campaign targeted to them?
That was actually one that I heard on the radio the other day. And then when I researched it, I found that they also have clips on TV, and you can also find them on the internet. It's a German telecommunications provider. And I think it's just one example out of many, because when you look at the mobile phone providers, they usually all do a pretty good job targeting Gen Y. This particular one is called Kongstar, and Kongstar has a slogan that translates and it says, "You want it, you get it." And that really is, in a short motto, what Gen Y is about. I want something and I get it. And you know what? I get it now, because I have no patience. I'm not going to wait for it. That's a very smart slogan. You want it, you get it.
Wow. Yeah.
And everything is tailored. I mean, that's the other thing. Gen Y is used to having everything personalized. You talk about personalized marketing. Well, that's part of it. Everything is about me. I can design my shoes, my handbag, my phone cover, my laptop. I everything is personalized. And that is a big difference between that generation and the previous ones. So if it's about me and the advertising or marketing talks to me as a person and why I am special, because that's the message I got since I was a kid from my parents, I'm so special. This is what resonates and this is what I will listen to.
Wow. Yeah, we need to learn to live with them. Not only as our customers, but also as our co-workers.
Absolutely. That's what I write books about. It's more my area, you know, how people work together. But that's exactly right. Yes, we all have to live with all of each other. And the beauty of it is that all the generations have valuable value add to bring to the workplace. So if we are becoming a bit aware, we develop these fine antennas. And the same is true for marketeers, but also for anybody in our personal life. I sometimes say to people, think about it as if you're going on a trip to a different country or even to a different galaxy. If you think that they're very far away, like aliens, think of it like that. If you dive into their world, try to see it with their eyes. It's the same with a generation. Try to see it with, okay, where do they come from? How do they see the world? And then it's so much easier to be forgiving and to actually understand where they are coming from.
I think that's a good advice. What comes after the millennials? Is there a place for a next generation, the Generation Z, or are we just so kind of, I wouldn't say fed up, but tired about all the generations? But can we adopt even more different generations after them?
I think, you know, it's just the trend has just started. So we will see a lot more after following the millennials. And yes, Generation Z is already being researched, because now people realize, hey, that's the next big hype after the millennials. The terminology is not yet that clear. Some call it Gen Z, but then depending on how you pronounce it in different parts of the world, in America, it's Gen Z. Some people refuse to use that. They're also called iGen. Small I and then a capital G, as in, you know, the iPad and all of those kind of things. So that's okay. Another term that I've seen a lot. In that sense, you might see different names for them or labels, but essentially they're born between 1996 and roughly 2007. Whereas that also depends to be seen. We never know exactly when the cutoff of this generation is. I think that's an interesting part for the researchers now to resolve. But what we do see already is, because they are so young, up to 18, 19 years old, we're talking about children and teenagers here. So that also makes it a very hard segment to actually describe, because they're still in full development. But what's interesting is that right now, the times we are living in are their formative years. So when you think about what's on the news, the access that they have to technology, knowing in real time what's going on around the world at any moment, this is what influences them and shapes them as a generation. So basically, you know, leaves it up to anybody's fantasy to imagine what kind of people are being shaped out of that, what kind of values are being placed into them. But things that come to mind, of course, are lots of crises around the economy, around finance. There are certain catastrophes in terms of environmental things, you know, like whether that's earthquake, tsunami, these kind of things. Because of technology, we know when what happens where. We can follow it in real time. We have visuals, we have images. There is, of course, the terrorism, which is a global threat and is more and more in the media. And then taking technology a step further is also everything around mobile. So mobile technology is actually the technology for Generation Z. Same as anything that's visual in terms of reality TV, for example, coming to how to reach them. It has to be real and authentic. This is a very critical target group. They're not easily, you know, kind of wooed by advertising campaigns anymore. They don't believe what they see on TV. They believe if it's real. So reality TV, YouTube, anything that's mobile that they can take on their device, those are the campaigns that will reach Gen Z. And we've seen only the tip of the iceberg so far.
Absolutely. So actually, everything what happens now is influencing this generation.
Absolutely. Because they're on their formative years, right? If you're between 11 and 15, this is your formative years. So this is what a lot of these youngsters are going through or have just been through. And what they're seeing without judging, that's the key part. They are not yet at an age where they analyze it. It's the part where you get influenced so easily.
So everything we will do will change them or influence them. So we have a lot of responsibility for the future generation.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you. It was so interesting. And I hope that all the marketeers have a lot to learn from that. And really not only to learn, but to learn the different way of thinking. In order to understand them. But how do you, in Gaia Insights, how do you do the research of the generations?
Well, we do not do our own research. We pretty much absorb research that we can get our hands on. So as I said, it's a trendy topic, the whole generations bit. And we've come across that about 5 years ago that we started to be interested in that. That was even before Gaia Insights was founded. And at that time, I was living in the U.S., and the U.S. already kind of started that hype around millennials at that time was the big topic. And then I thought, you know, what is this about? And is this for real? I really wanted to understand where this was coming from. So that's when I started to read about it. And I got tons of books and reports, and I found that it's pretty American-centered, what was available back then. So when I moved back to Europe, I thought, all right, so what about, you know, generations in other parts of the world? And that's when I really got into it. And I found out that there wasn't very much available. So I started to build my own theories around that and to kind of get proof of concept, especially in the field of human resources, because that's what we do as a consulting firm. We work in that area. And then I found that there's lots of different material reports, surveys available done by global consultancies, you know, questioning thousands of people around the world, because you can always question, is it cultural? Is it really the generation? Is it something else? And so what we're doing is that we spend a lot of time reading all this material and sourcing it from the internet mainly, and then basically deducting and distilling from that, okay, so what is really crucial for certain people to know? Because nobody wants to read a 100-page report. But what, unless you're maybe a boomer and you're interested in the details. My audience is the younger ones, and they want infographics, and they want it smart and crisp, and that's what we're then trying to do. And if there's one advice that maybe I'm allowed to give to the listeners, to the audience of this show, if you really want to get a snapshot understanding of different generations and how that is mirrored also in marketing, there's one recommendation I can give you, and it's actually a fun 10 minutes you can spend on YouTube. If you just go on YouTube and you look for Coca-Cola commercials and you look for the commercials from different decades, I mean, we all know Coca-Cola, we know the brand, we know the product. So this has been around forever. And I mean, marketing of Coca-Cola has been awarded and it's great. So what are they doing that well? Well, if you will try to understand a deep dive into the different generations, I encourage you to look up four spots. One in 1971 was called, the song, the music, when you hear it, you'll know it, no matter if you're young, but you know that one. The slogan was called, "It's the Real Thing." And we all know Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. 1989 is the next one I encourage you to look for. The slogan was, "You can't beat the feeling." And many of you listening to this will immediately have the music in our ears. "Can't beat the feeling." And that was Coke.
Yeah.
Then you have 2001, "Life Tastes Good." Was the slogan. And 2015, just now coming out, "The World is What We Make It." And those are the four generations for you. You have the boomers, X's, Y, and Z. And those slogans, they mirror the lifestyle. They mirror the you know, the kind of what was the era like. And that gives you in 10 minutes a snapshot over all four generations.
Very good. Thank you. We'll try to also share the links with our audience so everyone can go through the story and imagine themselves how the generations are different. I have a final question for this interview. It's a from completely different field, but what do you think? How should your knowledge about different generations be used in marketing a creative business?
And if you say a creative business, can you just give me an example what that would
be? It might be a creative bureau designing products. It might be advertising agency. It might be a photographer, or it might be a theater. It might be music from kind of various of things. I think a part of creative industry in Estonia is considered also to be IT. Mm-hmm. And we know that food sector in Scandinavia is considered to be part of creative industry. Not here in Estonia, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's not so very different than any other industry or business area. And I'm coming back to what I said in the very beginning. Try to dive into the world of your audience. And when you want a creative business, I think you actually have the luxury to really do that and create a world. I mean, when you, as you said, a theater or an agency, any kind of artist, you are creating a world that people dive into for a certain moment, whether that's a glimpse of a second or whether that is an evening show. But if you understand the world that these generations lived in and tie it back to the time that they all felt at home, this kind of safe, fuzzy feeling, okay, you know what, I was really back at home then in my era, in my time. When you recreate that, and maybe it's linked to nostalgia to a big piece, but then I think you always have a hook and people will listen. And I invite everyone to, again, think about yourself. Think back to your teenage years, you know, before you had all the trouble with your parents in school and lost boyfriends and stuff. That's not the point. But think about a time where you really felt good, the best time of your life, the summer of your life. And I think most people will remember something when they were a teenager, maybe college, you know, high school, that kind of thing. The summer of your life, what was part of that feeling? And if you as a creative business manage to recreate that feeling, every single human being will like to reconnect to that. I think that's the secret.
Wow, thank you. It's a really good advice for not only persons in creative business, but in different fields.